Welcome to Generations with Kevin Swanson. It's about the survival of faith, family, and freedom. It's about the future. He's a father of five, and he's committed to preserving a legacy for the next generation. Here's Kevin Swanson.
Hello, my friends. Welcome to Generations. This is Kevin Swanson, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators. Also, Dave Buhner in studio for us today. The reason we're here, we're fathers, and we're trying to raise our children with the right worldview in a world that has lost the concept of truth, eternal truth, and relationships. Two things we're trying to bring back in the modern world. Truth, real truth, absolute truth, and relationships. We live in a lost and lonely world. Lost because we hardly have any truth, and lonely because we hardly have relationships anymore. And one of the reasons is because of the corporate life. And Dave and I both have been victims of the corporate life. Dave, refugees, I guess you could call us. I was in the corporate world for 12 years, I believe, full-time. Part-time, probably 7-8 years before that. How long were you working corporate, Dave?
I was probably there a decade, but I started with AT&T, and then it spun off, became Lucent, became Avaya, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I was with several corporations in the same job.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the reasons why people want to work for a corporation is because of the security provided with the corporation. But what we're seeing is less and less corporate security today. Recently, a study indicates that the average unemployment rate is right around 13%, at least for 2006. In 1960, it was only 5% for men ages 30 to 55. We're talking about just men ages 30 to 55. Unemployment rate up to 13% from 5% in 1960. So we're actually seeing less corporate security than at any other time. Now, in Europe, it's a different story. In Europe, it's corporate security is an indispensable part of life. In most European countries, many employees have indefinite contracts, which, while not guaranteeing a job for life, make it very, very difficult for an employer to get rid of that employee. Now, listen to this. Between 1993 and 2002, the U.S. economy created 318 million new jobs and destroyed 300 million new jobs for a net gain of 18 million jobs. These numbers may be a little hard to get your mind around, but today we have about 140 million total jobs in the whole economy. That means we create and destroy over 20% of our jobs every year. Over 20% of jobs are created and destroyed every year, which means that one out of five jobs is destroyed every single year. That's 20%. Dave, that's not security in my mind, but a lot of people think they have corporate security. A survey of American adults ages 18 plus indicate 82% believe that it is unlikely their job will be eliminated within the next year, and 77% expect to have their current job for at least another 5 years. Well, folks, unfortunately, jobs are turned over all the time. There's not a lot of corporate security out there. It's sort of a mirage. And whereas, think about it, 200, 300 years ago in a more agricultural economy, people were more reliant on the weather to provide the good crops. And they'd have to get down on their hands and knees before God every year and pray to God and trust in God for good weather so that they would have a crop each year. But with the corporate life, you know, you get a steady paycheck, $3,000 every single month. That's something that people can rely on, and they appreciate that sort of thing. That is a blessing. Moreover, large corporations have gained a lot of control over 90% of the market. I'm just going to guess it's about 90% of the market, but in terms of manufacturing, utilities, even much of the service industry is controlled by large corporations. So it's very difficult to compete with these large corporations. It's very difficult for anybody to put together some high-volume manufacturing, some automation that would require a great deal of capitalization. Your average person couldn't, you know, put $180,000 into an automated molding machine to mold widgets to provide to people for one purpose or another. Moreover, scientific research can be pretty expensive and pretty difficult. So when you bring lots of minds together and produce some good scientific research, you can produce some good products, and that's a blessing. That's something that corporations have provided us over the last 100 years or so. So we've got some positives here. With the advent of the modern corporation, with the division of labor, with the industrialization of the modern age, people feel that they can rely more and more on a steady paycheck. Moreover, the corporation also provides a benefit package. And, Dave, this is something that the average farmer did not receive in 1747.
No, the average farmer did not have a health benefit.
Yeah, he didn't. And corporations now promise they will take care of your medical costs with insurance up to sometimes $1 million. I mean, that's a lot of money. The average person couldn't even imagine. The other thing is corporations promise that they'll take care of your retirement. And this is, again, something that in the 1800s, people never believed, that they would stop working at 65 years of age and the corporation or the government would send them a check every single month. This is something that did not happen in 1843. It just didn't happen in 1843. This is a modern phenomenon, my friends, where corporations are promising you security from death and security in retirement.
The old agricultural economy, the health benefit was you got to work really hard and that made you healthy. And the death benefit was when you died, you passed your farm on to your kids. The program worked like this. If you didn't work the crops, you didn't eat that year.
Yeah. Dave, I still wonder whether or not the corporate security promise has resolved the problem with worrying about the future. Because I still run into people, corporate people, who are worrying about losing their corporate job. What will I do if I lose my job? They say, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do if I lose my job? What if I lose my benefits? What if I lose my benefits? What's going to happen with me? What's going to happen
with
me?
Kevin, it's an obsession. It's an obsession. I worked with people who had gotten better job offers who wouldn't take the other job because it didn't have the same benefit package they liked, their doctor. Mm-hmm. People spend about 20% of their work near, as I can tell, undercover, looking for the next corporate job. They worry about it constantly.
Yeah, and yet I don't think that the corporate job relieves people of worrying about something. People are always going to worry about something. If you don't have a benefit package, you'll worry about the fact that you don't have insurance, and if something really bad happens to you, you may not be able to pay for it. If you have a corporate job, you're going to worry about losing your corporate job. And by the way, there's a guy out there who's done a top 10 tips on how to keep your job in today's economy, because there's a lot of people worrying about losing their job in today's economy. You'll never guess what his number one tip is. To make sure you don't lose your job, your corporate job, your number one tip is don't excel. Don't excel. He says, don't excel. If you excel in your job, you'll get noticed. Your coworkers will notice what you're doing and start talking to the boss about it. They'll gang up against you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what people do to maintain their job, of course, they're going to compromise their integrity so that they won't lose their job. They'll lie. They'll cheat. They'll even shift blame. They'll play the corporate games. You know the corporate games, Dave, that you play. You got to cheat. You got to lie about things. You got to shift blame. You got to hide some stuff. If you don't hide those things, they'll eventually find out that something bad happened, and then they're going to come after you, and you'll lose your job. And, of course, you got to be very careful not to work very hard, as this guy Chris Kalaboukas wrote in his article on the web, Top 10 Tips on How to Keep Your Job.
Because if you work really hard, it makes the slackers look bad.
Yeah, it does.
And then they'll gang up on you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, people do some crazy things to keep their jobs. But as Christians, we can't do that. We can't do that. We must follow Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul says, you respect your employers and work as hard as you can, but work as unto the Lord. Do not work as men pleasers. You're not there to please the corporation. You're not there to please your boss. Ultimately, you're there to please God. And therefore, work with all you have. Put everything you have into it. But you know what? Let's talk about corporate security, Dave, because this is the real root issue. People get really insecure about their corporate jobs. Let's talk about security. Where do Christians, people of real faith, get their security? Folks, if you work a corporate job today, you've got to listen to this. We'll be back in just a moment. Back on Generations, my friends. Kevin Swanson here, a couple of dads, just trying to make sense of things in the modern world for our children, trying to establish a generational vision here. And you know what? If you're stuck in a corporation, you really want something better, you know, you can establish a vision right now, maybe for your children and grandchildren. At least develop some kind of a vision. And folks, we're going to critique the corporate life just a little bit here, but let's put one thing to bed right away, Dave, on this corporate security thing. And that is that corporations don't care about you. Let's just say it. Now, maybe the smaller ones do. There may be some small corporations out there with, you know, 20, 30 employees, and they still care about you a little bit. But you start getting in a larger corporation, they don't care about you. They're not faithful and loyal to you. They would let you die in a ditch in 10 seconds, Dave. I mean, as long as you're not holding the company computer.
I think dying in a ditch at about age 52 is about the ideal in terms of the interests of the corporation. But, yeah, don't be carrying the corporate laptop, because then you'll find out the other side of corporate security.
Yeah, they're going to come after you, yeah, and take the laptop and download all the information. But here's the deal, folks. The average corporation, they don't really care about you. They just don't. And if they got to lay off 25 people, they could care less. They'll lay you off. They'll lay you off in a heartbeat. Why? Because you're not part of a family. This, although they may say you're part of a family, sometimes that shows up on the bulletin boards. You know, we're all part of the corporate family here. That's not that way. This is not the organic family, the covenant family that God established when God established an organization. A family that's held together by, well, a marriage vow. That does not happen with a corporation, my friends. And therefore, there is not the loyalty. There is not the loyalty in the corporation like you would find in a family or a family business.
Now, the corporation I worked at, it was like a family, at least in the manager's viewpoint, because he was divorced. He didn't have his children at home. He kicked them out, too. So it was a lot like his family.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, good point. All right, corporations also tend to disintegrate the family. I say disintegrate the family because the modern world does everything it can to disintegrate the family. Think about it. When that little kid comes out of the womb, he gets into daycare. You pop him into daycare. You put him into age-segregated classrooms for 18 years out of his life, or 12 years out of his life. You make sure that that kid doesn't grow up in the nurturing atmosphere of a family. You disintegrate the family with the public school systems. You disintegrate the family with the government systems of Social Security. You disintegrate the family with corporations. That's the whole idea. That's a worldview that we've all adopted, folks. Family businesses tend to integrate the families. That's what they do. That's what they do. That's what family businesses have done from the very beginning. Households in the Bible is normative for households in the Bible to work together. Rebecca in Genesis was feeding her father's sheep. Joseph was feeding his father's sheep. David was feeding his father's sheep. When his father called him in and said, hey, go feed your brothers. They're out fighting a battle. And Aquila and Priscilla in the New Testament, they were tent makers together. It was a unified family effort. It was a unified family economy. Yeah, we were doing that kind of thing for about 5,700 years. For thousands and thousands of years in world history, until somebody had a brilliant idea of totally disintegrating the family and establishing the modern corporation. All right, so you can't walk into Lockheed Martin. Dave, I don't know if you ever tried to apply for a job. Walk into Lucent or Lockheed Martin and say, you know what, I brought my whole family with me to interview for this job. We're all here. This is little Joey. He types 80 words a minute. This is my wife. She answers phones very well. This is me. I do this. I do that. We're a family. We work together. So when you hire me, you hire my family. Dave, corporations actually don't hire families. They hire individuals. It's all individuated. Everybody gets split apart from their family. Everybody gets hired individually to different corporations, and hopefully you split the husband and the wife up so the wife is working for some boss, and eventually, of course, she might commit adultery with him and so forth, but that's okay because the family doesn't matter anyway, and divorce is really cool, and we're in a disintegrated world. So I'm sorry, but that's the vision for the modern corporation.
Kevin, they didn't even give security badges to my children.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they don't do that kind of thing. If you came in and they just say, hey, we got one opening for you, and close it gently as you leave. You know, the corporations do not hire a family. They hire individuals, and they really don't care that much about your family. So that's one drawback, another drawback with the corporation. Here's another problem. Corporations and governments seem to create an environment where people live in debt, and they don't save their money for inheritance. In other words, people tend to live off of a paycheck. They live from paycheck to paycheck instead of saving for a rainy day. That's the mentality of people in the corporate world. And that's a drawback. Why? Because the Bible says it's bad to be in debt. It's not necessarily sin, but it's a negative. It's an evil thing to be in debt. It's like being a servant or a slave. And 1 Corinthians 7:21 says it's not a good thing to be a servant of men if you can avoid it. So, again, a debted lifestyle, a lifestyle where you never save for the future, and you never save for inheritance, is a bad lifestyle. Another drawback, Dave, is that in 35 years in the corporate world, I think what tends to happen to guys is they lose a love for liberty. In other words, they tend to rely on the big corporate, you know, security blanket, and they don't really enjoy, they no longer enjoy the concept of liberty anymore. They're always worried about whether or not the pension is going to be there, and I'm not even sure that the pension will be there. I mean, they're promised security. A lot of corporations are promising security and have for the last 40 years.
But, Dave, how many people retire and wind up with a pension that really wasn't what they expected it to be 30 years ago when they signed up for it and were promised it year in and year out? Think of all those years they were looking forward to that pension check. And think about how disappointed they're going to be when all that pension fund was cashed out by the corporation. Ladies and gentlemen, the encouragement today is to not get your security from the corporation. And even those working corporations, I know by God's infinite wisdom and plan for lots of people, they're going to wind up working in corporations. My encouragement today to you, those of you driving to the corporation today, please do not seek your security in the corporation. What is the biblical concept for security? You need to understand that. You need to live it. You need to completely get rid of all these notions that somehow you're going to rely on the corporation to take care of you. Number one, trust in God. Some trust in princes, some in horses, some trust in Lockheed Martin, but we will trust in the Lord our God. That, Dave, is basic, and man, we've got to teach our children that. And I'm afraid that sometimes we lock our children into a college career track and say, okay, if you get your college degree and you start working for Lockheed Martin or you work for some government bureaucracy, you've got your position set. You don't have to worry about your paycheck for the next 45 years. You don't need to trust in God for the next 45 years. That's the message that a lot of parents are communicating with this college corporate track, and it's not healthy. It's not healthy. We have got to teach our children to trust in God every day for our daily bread. We're to pray for our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread, said Jesus in the Lord's Prayer. Let's make sure we pass that on to our kids. And then secondly, you got to work 6 days. No matter what you do, you got to work 6 days. And you know what, Dave? There's, I think, some security in this, in the law of God, where if I am unemployed, and by the way, there's no such thing as unemployment, if I lose my corporate job, every single guy who works a corporate job today, if they're going to lose their corporate job, they still must obey God's law, which says 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. That comes from the seventh commandment. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. That's a commandment of God, no options. So guys, if you lose your $50 an hour corporate job, you better be willing to work for $1 an hour cutting lawns and undercutting the market on mowing lawns. And Dave, I'm afraid there are a lot of guys. In fact, according to this New York Times article on unemployment, 13% of men 30 to 55 years of age in 2006 were unemployed. According to this article, the New York Times attributes a large portion of this to blue-collar and professional men refusing to work in jobs because they're overqualified for it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying it right now in the air. There is no such thing as overqualification. If you don't have a job, you go and you work. You shovel snow or you mow lawns for a buck an hour. That's the mentality. It's a biblical mentality, Dave. And if you have that mentality, I think you're not worrying about corporate security anymore. All right, thirdly, instead of relying on security on cold corporations, ladies and gentlemen, this is the heart and soul of our program right now. It's coming out. You need to build relationships and find security in relationships rather than in your cold corporations. Let me say that one more time. You need to build security in relationships because you have built relationships, close relationships, with your children and with your grandchildren. And ladies and gentlemen, the corporation will let you die in a ditch. But if you have a loving relationship with your children, if you didn't toss them onto the government to take care of your children when they were young, and you have taken care of your children, you have discipled them in God's Word, and you have taught them Matthew chapter 15, which says in no uncertain terms that children are responsible for taking care of their parents in their old age. If you have communicated that to your children, you have this relationship with your children, your children will not let you die in a ditch. Where are you getting your security? Are you trusting the corporation or your children? Dave, I think this is almost the bottom line to this entire discussion. People don't have relationships with their kids and their grandkids such that they could rely on their children to take care of them in their old age. This is the heart and soul of it, guys. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus said, Moses said, honor your father and your mother. Whoso curses mother and father, let him die to death, or let him be put to death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father and mother, his korban, he shall be free, and you allow him no more to do anything for his father or mother, making the word of God of none effect by your tradition. Jesus said, if you have, you know, given money to the government or to the temple, to the church, by means of this Social Security, this korban program, you don't need to take care of your mother and father in their old age. You got another thing coming. God intended you to take care of, to honor your parents, to take care of your elderly parents in their old age all the way until they pass away. And the 1 Timothy 5 says exactly the same thing. In fact, it says, if anybody does not take care of their widowed mothers and grandmothers, they are worse than infidels or unbelievers and should be kicked out of the church. God requires men to take care of their elderly mothers and grandmothers. And it's specific here. God says, don't let the church take care of them. Don't let any other institution, even the government. The government shouldn't be taking care of your elderly mothers and grandmothers. It should be the sons that are working that take care of them. Verse 16 of 1 Timothy 5, let me read it in no uncertain terms. This is the word of God. If any man or woman that believes has widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. God requires men to take care of their elderly mothers and fathers. Matthew chapter 15 and Mark chapter 9. The Bible requires men to take care of their elderly mothers and grandmothers. Well, folks, that is where we get security. We get security from the relationships we built with our children. I know in the age we live in an age where relationships are gone. We have dumped our children in public schools. The government raises them for us. And the government has a Social Security program to take care of our elderly mothers and grandmothers. And the government and the corporations are supposed to take care of us in our old age, et cetera, et cetera. But the Word of God presents a different worldview. Let's create relationships. And you know what? I encourage people to establish their own businesses too. Now, not everybody can do this. But if you can, I think you ought to. I would encourage you to count the cost before starting your own business. Just a few pointers before starting your own business. You ought to look into it. Perhaps you can maintain a business half-time or in the evening time. Or you can develop a little bit of a vision for a home business that your children and your grandchildren can engage in. But here are just a few things. Count the cost before starting your own business. Remember, there will be huge fluctuations in your compensation. It's always best to be debt-free or mortgage-free. Have your house paid off in full before you start your own business. Now, that may not be true for everybody, but that's a good tip for your daily bread every single day. Are you and your family willing to put 80 to 90-hour weeks into the business for 2 to 3 years? Can you integrate your older children, your wife, into the business without stressing everybody out? You have to be able to go, go, go for 6 days with a constant mindset of selling your service or your product. You got to get rid of that 9 to 5 and a half-hour lunch break. That's not going to cut it for your own business. Most of us were not raised to be entrepreneurs, and unfortunately, public schools do not raise people to be entrepreneurs. So I would recommend apprenticeships and part-time home businesses. Some network marketing organizations have provided excellent guidance for people who never knew how to handle their own businesses. So you might look at network marketing as a part-time effort for a while to learn what it takes to do your own business. Ladies and gentlemen, just some tips there for you as you establish a vision, hopefully a vision that incorporates your family into your work life. That's our vision. Let's renew relationships in the modern world, and let's do it even in our work life. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Generations. You can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can check out our blog and hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. Check it out from time to time. kevinswanson.com on the web. Ladies and gentlemen, let me invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.